On Saturday, March 25th and Sunday the 26th, come to a national conference for the full normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba. Plenaries and workshops include voices from the U.S., Cuba, and Canada, developing joint strategies for ending the U.S. blockade and finishing the process towards normalization begun in 2014. And on Saturday night, a public program at the Shabazz Center in Harlem includes Puerto Rican hero Rafael Kinsel Miranda, Sandra Ramirez Rodriguez, director of the North American Desk of Cuba's Friendship Institute, and founder of the Antonio Maceo Brigade, Andres Gomez. Music by Cuban jazz pianist Marcelo Casagrande and the Afro-Boricua drum and dance ensemble, Bombayo. That's March 25th through the 26th, a national conference for the full normalization of relations between the U.S. and Cuba at the Fordham University Law School, 62nd Street off Broadway in Manhattan. For registration and information, log on to www.nationalcubaconference.org.
It only happens once a week. Monday evenings at midnight.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed. I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Here on listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. 99.5 FM. The name of the show, Night Shift. Monday nights, midnight.
Midnight.
Midnight. Here on WBAI.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me. I thank you.
Let me say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
My name is Dan Ingram, and I'm a WBAI fan. They've always been, you know, the station that kicked butt and the station that said what you're not supposed to say, because the people in power don't want to hear it, and I love that.
I have to celebrate you, baby.
us in the surprise. تنگی نرس نیست نهان از را می روید مبادا گفته باشی روستق می دارم گشن کباب قناری بر آتش بسترم و گل سرخ اکنون بست آبانم و گذرگاه ها مستقر مجده دل که مسیحا نفسی می آید که از انفاس خوشش روی کسی 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 کسی
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
This is going to be just a little bit unpleasant. Don't move. Stay very still now. Don't talk.
How long does this take?
Not long. Not long.
It only happens
once.
Night shift.
It only happens here.
Night shift.
Mondays. Midnight.
Night shift.
Designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too.
There was a lot of light. That's all.
ice is going to break. Break. Break.
Night shift again. I'll be damn late.
I saw something. They saw something. Night shift.
Chris, are you there?
Night shift.
Yes, can you hear me?
So, Chris Hello, is Chris. There. Byron's here. And the mystery guest. Hello, Mr. Guest.
We're all in the house.
Yes, we're in the house. I just came off of being on assignment in Washington, D.C., but we'll talk about that
later. Oh, really? You were on assignment in D.C.? Of yes, course you were. You were undercover?
Undercover.
Were you
over
disguised
the cover?
As a Republican?
No, not in this world.
No, I'd like to see you go undercover as a Republican. I'd like to see that.
Let me tell you, in my earlier day, many thought I was Republican. I'm a very conservative person.
You are. You could be, you know what? You could have like a website. You call it the Undercover Republican.
No, that's too much.
Yes. You could infiltrate meetings.
I don't want to infiltrate.
Tell us what's going on.
Too much hard work. Do you know what the spy versus spy business is going through right now? I don't think I want to be in that business. Chris, you feeling me? Come on now.
Listen, nothing is going on. There's no answers. Everything's going to be okay. That's all we ever hear.
You know, it's interesting. I think
I never said this. I never meant that.
It's in a way. I think that he's more like Chancellor Palpatine than you know.
That's
some
a good
other
one. But see, we have
characters.
To remember he turned into.
Well, that's just it. Because someone had mentioned. I read it some tweet where they were saying that a senior White House person was concerned that. If there were some sort of national emergency, that the administration current would get more powers, gain more executive powers, and then hold on to those powers. And I'm thinking, like, that's a Palpatine move. That's what he did. That's how the Empire was created, basically, out of the Republic, granting him more powers.
Sorry, make it look like
he did a rally today in Kentucky. And
yeah, I know, and that was
hours of it's out.
Too little.
Well, it's in a way, it's interesting. It'll be looked back in history as interesting as the moves that are being made, and the manipulation of the media at a whole new level, being able to obliterate reality, and recognize that people live they see what they want, they believe what they want. It doesn't matter what you say.
In Washington D.C.
Doesn't matter, Byron.
And I grew up during Nixon's resignation.
But you grew up, Byron. That's the difference.
I can tell you that based on that as a significant piece of our history of our country, because it was a defining moment for the executive powers and the Supreme Court and the
which moment are you talking about?
Nixon's resignation.
Oh, resignation, yes.
And living through that period, I guarantee if you play the retapes of that period and listen to the spin that they were making, yeah. Haldeman, Dean, and people back in his administration.
Yeah, but they didn't have control of the media.
Listen to me. Right, this is true, but if you listen to the same protestations that they made back then and almost play them significantly at the same speed that they're doing right now, the spin is the same. I know it's a different time period, but the spin comes back to how much can you control the media, which is what Nixon tried to do. But if you listen to the outlay...
That's what every leader...
True, but if you listen to the outlay of what was given today in that hearing and just listen to the scenarios that are being drawn that are much more feasible than what the administration is telling you. And so at some point, it's got to understand. Now, I'm going to bring you back to Life is Like Science Fiction.
Byron, we're living Life is Like Science Fiction. Anything we talk about today is, if you listen to this 10, 15 years ago, you'd be like, get the hell out of here. What are you talking about? This is some reality show millionaires running the country, exactly. and everything's a lie and there's false news. It's what's that?
We're living in science fiction,
Byron.
Yes.
And we are literally living.
But the bottom line is,
yes,
it's still about all the gold in the mountain.
Listen, the mountain is being gutted as we speak.
Do you feel me on this? It's like, we have Lord of the Rings how many times? And it's all about the gold in the mountain, y'all. I'm telling you.
I'm with you about that.
What is it? Ivanka's husband's father, they just sold something for like $400 million to the Russians. Some trade.
Listen,
thing
was it a gold
it's,
ring?
It, they are, the only borders are religious and financial. That's it. Other than that, then no other borders really exist. So if there's money to be made, you know, they'll get along.
I mean, basically, you know, Trump played Monopoly, the game Monopoly, and he landed on free parking. I mean, that's basically...
You think so? Now, two things I do want to say, because we're talking a little bit political, and this is Night Shift, and you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. Night Shift is a late-night magazine where the overarching theme is that life is like science fiction, where we cover all kinds of culture, and we do
cultural analysis.
We do cultural analysis. And there are two things. One, I have two interviews to play to you, Byron.
Great.
I have an interview with a great actor named Brian Cox. Do you know who he is?
That name is very familiar.
Oh, you've seen him in a ton of things. Yeah. He was the first Hannibal Lecter. He was in Manhunter, He played Stryker in the X-Men films. It's probably who you remember him more as.
Okay.
But he's done a ton of roles.
He's intense character.
He's an amazing actor. Yes. Shakespearean trained. The Shakespearean Royal Theater came from that.
Like Albert Finney. The man with the one red shoe, was he in there?
He was in Red. He was in both Red and Red 2. He was in both of those.
What's his name, Tom?
No. His name is Brian Cox. And as a matter of fact, he was also in the Bourne films, but, you know, he got killed off.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a great actor. He's also a pretty amazing theater director, Byron, which you'll appreciate. And there's a play called Sinners, which has been written by Joshua Sobel. It's not playing here in New York. It's playing in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't give up the opportunity to talk to somebody He's had an amazing career.
Yes.
And I'm friends with his wife, Nicole Ansari, who's starring in the piece.
Amazing.
It's and you understand this phrase, Byron, it's a two-hander. Mm-hmm. You know what that means. Mm-hmm. See, Mr. Guest, do you know what a two-hander is?
I have a few ideas, but technically...
No,
I...
not sexual, Mr. Guest. A two-hander is... a two-hander is a two-person play. And this is a play called... Can turn on the light there for a Byron. I just want to set you up a little bit here. It's a play called Sinners. And it's going to be playing this coming... It opens, actually, this March 23rd. It's by the Boston New Prep. It's only for playing for 8 shows, so... if you're a fan of Brian Cox and you're looking him up now, and if you go to the Night Shift Facebook page, I have a you can click on his bio right there.
Right, I got to interrupt you. When he was in Manhunter, his performance in Manhunter was so outstanding. Mm-hmm. I think that's where they got the inspiration to really, really make it into.
Well, that's Michael Mann, you know, and that was like I think his first feature film, right?
But his performance, yes, but his performance in that was, no, his first feature was Thief, I think.
Right, okay. You're right, it was Thief.
Thief
then Manhunter, you're absolutely right.
Brian Cox is an incredible actor, absolutely incredible.
Definitely. Well, he's a really insightful man, you know, he's seasoned, he's got a very good perspective on... you know, on the world and art and everything. So I got to ask him, of course, you know, my famous questions. And so, like I said, it's at Boston New Prep. It's going to be going on for 8 days. And it's a love story about a woman named Layla, who's a university professor, who's denounced for having an affair with her former student, Noor. The play examines both her denouncer and Noor's journey from love till death, because basically once they found out about the affair, she was to be stoned. Mm. And so the piece opens with her trapped in the ground as they bury these women to the, you know, up to their shoulders,
right.
And then stone them. And the lover has to pick up the stones.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. And be the one to pick up the stones to have her stoned.
That's painful.
And this is the culture. And so.
And what culture is this?
Say that again, you said?
Who picks up the stones afterwards?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there's a number of cultures that have a practice like this. The point of the piece is not the culture so much as the fact that it exists. And more than that, what it's really... Okay, so it's about these, you know, these two former lovers now.
Yes.
Like, she's sitting in a shroud with a curtain, with a sheet over her head. This is what they do. They put a sheet over the head of the... person being stoned, you know, pretty much probably for the stoner, so they don't have to look in the eye of the person they're stoning. And so she's there, and he's picking up stones, and they have confrontation. And that's what the play is about.
Does
powerful.
He know she's underneath?
Oh, of course. She's calling to him. It's kind of. I'm going to play an excerpt from the piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the theatrical piece.
It's a theatrical piece.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Sinners.
Sinners, and where is this playing?
This is in Boston at Boston New York Prep. Okay, which is in
and this
in Boston,
is the guy you're interviewing.
I'm interviewing the director. I interviewed the nice. Director, the lead actress, and the lead actor because it's a younger man having an affair with an older woman, and it's in Scott. So it's very supercharged. But I'm playing a scene. It's a very very brief scene.
Okay.
Very brief scene. And then I'll play some of the interview with Brian Cox. But again, you know, one of the interesting things I have to say about doing these interviews. You know, after I've done interviews for so many years, Byron and Mystery Guest, that, and I think I actually was talking to the Mystery Guest about this, is that I'm basically interviewing people who are doing what they love, doing what they want to do,
yeah.
You know, and doing what they want to do with their lives, you know, at whatever stage they're at. Then I also have an interview, and again, speaking of that, because an old friend from back from college, okay, we were in a movie together, a TV pilot, Byron, okay,
you
I can admit this now,
movie?
Because it's buried, no one has a copy.
The Missing
it
Files.
It was called The Ultimates, okay, it was a TV pilot,
yes.
Okay, for cable, about these superheroes that...
What were they wearing?
Well, they were wearing spandex, of course,
Chris has actually
seen some of it. So yes, they were the superheroes, and I played the supervillain. And my character's name was the Dark Ultimate, but let's not go there. Anyway, the point being that
Dark
Ultimate. Yes.
Ultimate.
Can I finish my story?
Chris, hold on. Hold on.
I'm trying to get
you cannot get to that story until we explore the Dark Ultimate. You are Mr. Evil himself.
I was a time traveling, I was a Time Lord.
Okay. Time Lord.
Time Lord. See, a Time Lord is someone who can travel through time and take on different appearances. Costumes. You know, like Doctor Who is a Time Lord.
Yes.
So, that's why he looks different. So, I played a Time Lord.
I like the gong effect. That was right on time.
You like that gong effect?
The gong effect was
right on
time.
Because I'm a Time Lord.
You're a gong.
All right. Anyway, can I finish my story?
No.
So I was a Dark Ultimate. He was one of the superhero teens who were, they were like superheroes and also a rock band. That was their cover. Anyway, point is.
Your gong kind of matches your spandex.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't
wear spandex. I wore a leather toga. That was my costume. I brandished a sword. You know, it was.
Wait a minute. How long was the sword?
It was a broadsword.
How long was the story?
Can I finish my
story? No, you cannot finish this story.
You interrupt me, I'll never finish. Anyway, so that actor who played one of the superheroes, his name was Daniel Klaus. He has since, in the last couple decades, become a very famous, acclaimed, well-known graphic novelist whose work's been adapted for film. His first was Ghost World. With that's ostensibly what's discovered Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
You remember that film Ghost World, Chris, don't you?
Yeah, we've talked about how Scarlett Johansson's career was at a certain point.
Exactly. That was 15 years ago, if you can believe it.
Thora Birch was at her prime and
things
changed.
Exactly. Thora Birch was the star. And Scarlett Johansson was just like a co-star. Now, you know, Scarlett Johansson is, you know, Akira or whatever. Anyway, Ghost in the Shell. So, Dan Klaus he did a second film called Art School Confidential.
Yes.
And now he's got a new one coming out Friday called Wilson, which Woody Harrelson.
Yes, we did.
So Dan is the one who wrote the comic. Now it's interesting because Dan is a comic artist, so he writes in a certain way. Adapting a comic to film is a very specific thing. It doesn't work all the time. And this film does not, in my opinion, completely work. Okay, but it's interesting to see. For me, it's interesting to see my friend, who's, you know. So we got to talk about this. So I have an interview with Dan Klaus, and I have an interview with Brian Cox. And you're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio.
And you know, I even went to a show tonight. So
did you? I told you
I was out on a
cultural analysis. And Chris, did you do anything with your life this week?
I celebrated my birthday.
That's right. Chris had a birthday.
Wait a minute. I did not send a birthday card.
That's right.
I usually send you a birthday card.
See, because he's not really on Facebook. I didn't know he was had a birthday.
Chris. Happy birthday, man. Because
he texted me a cake. He was like, I texted him something, and he texted me a cake.
Byron, I'll send you a picture of the cake.
Send the cake.
I went out. I had a wonderful I had an incredible dinner, just filet mignon and blah, blah, blah.
Did she get you the Bluetooth communicator, Star Trek communicator cell phone thing?
No, was I supposed to get that?
Well, yeah. Give her my email. I'll make sure, and I'll send her a link.
Send me the link, and I'll send it to her.
I'll send you the link. It's a communicator. It looks like the original Star Trek communicator, but it's a Bluetooth device. But you can answer your phone, and when you open it, it's like, you know, it makes the sound, and when you can talk to it and say like, call Mike, you know, and it takes all the voice commands and.
I know you don't eat meat, but I had filet mignon, and I had lobster mashed potatoes, and lobster crisps.
So you feasted on flesh.
He had the fish
and the cake. It's like this catered cake. It was just really beautiful. It was beautiful. Life is just beautiful. And yes, much love there.
And what was the day?
Saturday. Saturday night. Actually,
March 18th.
18th. Happy birthday.
He's a March hare.
Mine is on Sunday.
Yours is this coming Sunday?
Yes.
Stop.
The 26th. 67.
Wow.
I'll be 67.
Get out of here. 67. Get the
Yeah.
Byron's getting a check.
67.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, Byron.
Byron's retiring, man.
Byron looking good. Byron got that painting up in the room. Look at you, Byron. 67.
Yes, sir. So I'm
Byron's going to start painting.
When I get to be old, I hope I look as good as Byron.
It's our time, broski. It's our time, so celebrate.
That's right. So wait, what sign are you, Byron?
Aries.
And what sign are you, Chris?
He's on the cusp of Aries. Taurus. Aries and Pisces.
He's Pisces, yeah.
He's right at the end of it.
Fish, yeah, I know. All right. Yeah, listen, I've learned all about you.
And Chris, my youngest son's birthday was March 11th, so he's a Pisces.
He's a Pisces.
Yeah.
Look at that. You gave birth to a Pisces.
Yes.
Look at you, fathered a Pisces.
A Capricorn and a Pisces.
Interesting, Byron.
And I'm an Aries.
I hope he's not like Chris.
Well,
what's wrong with me? What did I do?
He's probably got a piece of it, a little bit of that, too.
Mystery guest, when's your birthday?
Oh, mine, I forget. But, Mike, aren't you a bear sign?
The sign of the, no.
The bear.
No, I am not.
A fisher bear.
Yeah, fisher bear.
No, I am not a fish.
No, Mike's birthday was a month ago.
No, Mike's birthday was not a month ago.
Look, listen. I don't feel bad for not knowing his birthday because he does. No, first of all, I'm not a Libra. At least none of you
Scorpio. Mike's
are
a Scorpio.
Significant. You know nothing.
That's for lying. He spilled his whatever. Okay, that's for lying. And now you're going to use my paper.
Oh, was that your paper?
Don't worry about it. I sacrifice it. Yes. See? Anyway.
Wait, Mike, your birthday was in January.
No.
No, my birthday's not in January. Okay. All right, listen to me. We're going to the center's excerpt.
See, we guys can figure this out. You can figure this out later, okay?
All right. Which interview is this?
This is the excerpt from Sinners, and then I'm going to go into the
interview. Oh, okay. So.
And you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio.
Night Shift.
WBAI.
Night Shift.
We should just go Tangential Radio.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
Hashtag what?
Tangential Radio.
Tangential Radio.
Night Shift.
Thank you.
remember. I never really learned the meaning of it all. What we have is strong and tender, so hold on. In the middle of the madness, when the time is running out and you're left alone, all I want is you to know that it's strong still can pull us apart.
Nothing can come.
Here for some reason the CD that I burned with both interviews is not seeming to be playing.
I'm gonna try it in the other CD player.
Okay, well, you know, I'm on standby.
I'm not sure why it's not working in that CD player.
Mike,
yes,
are you okay?
I'm not okay. I'm not happy.
Dude, man, what's going on here?
What's happening?
Ronald McDonald, baby.
They saw something. I saw something.
Exactly.
Okay. I heard something.
You heard something too?
CD I heard something. Working in, it worked in the other place.
Poor Mike.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to apply this. I'm going to try.
See? It. See what happens, Byron? Mike was on assignment.
He was out on assignment as well. I'm not surprised that our paths did not cross because we were crisscrossing so many.
It's not happening. It should be happening. It's not happening.
So we meet here.
It's not happening. So I'm going to play something to you. You just enjoyed that version.
Yes.
Of that song. Did you enjoy that, Mr.
Gasser?
Yeah, wasn't that a great version?
Nice.
It was a great version.
It's
such a great version. It's like, you know, I always think it takes a lot of cojones, you know, to remake a classic or do a, you know, whatever.
And it's a classic.
It's like you forget that was Sade.
Yes.
You forget because it's like
what?
That was a Sade song.
Yes.
That's a Sade. Exactly. That was a Sade song.
I forgot.
Exactly. That's how much he owned it. He owned it in that he made it his own. That's what I have to say. Wow. It's a group called Blank and Jones, but that version, they owned it. They made it. It's a male song. Anyway. So just because it's so good, I'm going to play a remix, of course, of the Sade song.
Oh.
And you'll go, yeah, okay. It's a great track. She's great. Like when she gets
smooth.
When she hits it good.
It is very smooth.
Chris, what do you think?
It's just amazing. You know, basically, it makes me want to stay loose, baby.
Yeah, you can tell, you can share that story where that came from.
It's a birthday thing. I understand.
No, it's not. No, yes, it is. Chris, share where that came from with Byron.
Byron, the other day I was watching, you know, I was up late, I was chilling up, I'm watching Shaft. And he turns and he goes, Richard Roundtree goes, "Yo, man, stay loose, baby." So I send that text to Mike.
Exactly. Stop. Well, that's my new line. Like, if somebody asks me any advice, I just go, "Well, the only advice I can give you," I send that in one text, and I go, "is stay loose, baby."
Great line, Chris.
Exactly. Stay loose, baby.
I'm feeling you.
So, Byron,
yes.
For your birthday,
yes.
Stay loose, baby.
Stay loose, baby. I like that. I can adapt to that.
The mystery guest is rolling her eyes and shaking her head. Why? Why?
Oh, well, you know, I think Shade is great, and she designs all her own costumes.
Okay, okay. So you're a Shade fan.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, she does, like, Sting, where she gets, like, the best musicians out there.
She's a great stylist.
I think she's beyond a stylist. I think she's definitely, you know, I consider Madonna to be more of a stylist. In terms of singing,
she's a different kind of stylist.
Different kind of stylist, yes.
An all-around artist.
Absolutely. You know what this is from? This music here is great. This is from OJ Made in America. Did you watch that, Byron?
No.
Let me tell you something. Because I had been hearing it so great, it won all these awards. I'm like, all right.
I saw bits and pieces.
Listen, exactly. Let me tell you something, Byron.
Yes.
Sit down and watch it. And the score is fantastic.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
What did you get from it?
Quite a bit. It covers quite a bit because it's a story about America. But just take a listen to this, Chris. This is another track from OJ Made in America. This is when they're following him in the white Bronco. Good, right?
I like it.
You like it, Chris?
Yeah, this is really from the movie?
What's that?
Is this really from OJ film?
This is from OJ Made in America.
Wow.
exactly.
I thought you were making this up. I thought you were
No, this is the score from OJ Made in America. It's like it's such a good movie, there's no way you can expect it to be as good as it is. You realize, wow, this is a really good movie. It's has so much to say about so many things. Like you're kind of blown away. And really, all it is telling a story of this one man's life. It's so many things that he was and went through and did, and all of it. It's Shakespearean. That's all I gotta say. It's Shakespearean. So, Byron Saunders, you have a story for us, don't you?
Newspaper apologies after using
apologizes.
Yeah, newspaper apologizes after using Baldwin's Saturday Night Live photo instead of Trump.
Just think about the surreality of that, Byron.
So yes, they posted the wrong picture, of course, and identified the wrong Trump.
Chris, what do you think of that?
Now this happened.
I'm not surprised.
This was on the 13th of February. That was a Monday. Wow.
Listen, man. I wake up every day and I go, I cannot believe that Donald Trump is president of the United States.
Exactly.
That's an everyday occurrence. I just go, I've said this to people. I go, what's going on, man?
Exactly.
Donald Trump is the president.
Like, you're hoping that, what's his name? Ashton Kutcher is behind the whole thing, and we've all been punked or something.
grade.
Now this is driving in California, Chris. In the 80s. Does this sound familiar to you?
No, but that show quote was only half an hour long, so.
What's that?
That show is only half an hour long, so I'd be really happy if that was the case in this scenario.
Which show? Which show?
The punked show.
Oh, I never watched it.
Pranking show. That. It's a short.
Yeah, piece. Well, yeah. You know, it's basically candid camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Done for commercials.
Mm.
All right.
Mike Sargent.
So what do you
this
think?
This is more of the score?
No. This is not more of the score. But I'll play you. There's another track from the score that's just amazing. That you didn't realize it was playing in the background, and it's just the it becomes like the theme for every chapter, and it's really pretty amazing. Hold on. Okay.
So did you just happen to watch that all weekend?
I watched it a couple weeks ago. And
okay.
Yeah, the OJ. I was doing stuff and I watched it in between. And it was like, wow. I was riveted, and because I had been wondering why I had gotten so many awards. Like, how good could it be? You know, because okay, here it is. This is another track from OJ, Made in America, and it starts good. It takes you somewhere, but the end is just. It says everything.
So, listen, I know how you operate.
How do I operate? I'm pausing.
You didn't have the soundtrack yet.
Well, you know, here's the deal, okay?
Okay, because I know you didn't.
I get all the soundtracks. They send them to me. I get all the soundtracks. I'm in the loop for that, for press-wise, because I play them, obviously. Okay. You know, how many people play movie soundtracks? So I get them. So it had been sent to me, and I had not even downloaded it. You understand? Okay. So I had to go back like a month ago when it had been sent to me and download it after I saw it. Because I was like, wow. And then I went back in my emails and I was like, Spock. All right. And so then Spock said, Captain, it's already in your email. And so.
Fascinating.
Perfect, Bird. All right. So I'm just going to play this to you.
So that's what you did. And then you download. So now you're going to send it to me.
Oh, sure. But it's fantastic. It's like 43 tracks. For the soundtrack. Yes! We gotta remember, there's no such thing as albums anymore. Really. Okay? So a soundtrack can be as long as this. It's a 6-hour miniseries. There's tons of music. Tons. You know, tons. I mean, it's just like a 6-hour.
And is it all one guy doing the score? Who did the score?
One guy, you know, I should have it in front of me. Hold on, let me see. Let me look. What does it say?
Oh, we should give him credit, because if you're that blown away, this could be like the new guy.
While it's playing, I will get to
it's
it now.
It's considered a miniseries,
it didn't come
right?
up in my playlist.
Here. I can pull it up if you want me to.
Right, pull it up during the script, but just take a listen to this. This is the main theme. By the end of the piece, it's a short piece. By the end of the piece, it becomes the motif that every time we go into another chapter of OJ's life, you know, it captures everything about it. It's epic. It's tragic. It's
I'll watch it. It's on Netflix. I'll watch it.
Dude, you will be talking about it next week. Anyway, just take a listen to this.
Okay, the guy's name is Gary Linoli.
All right, see? This is, you know, I can't even.
That's what it sounds like. Linoli.
Okay. Lionelli. Sounds like Lionelli to me.
Lionelli, there it is. Gary Lionelli.
Gary Lionelli. And this is the main. This is not called the main theme, but as far as I'm concerned, it's the main theme.
Thank you.
that's the motif right there. Every time we go to a new chapter, we hear that little motif. Isn't that nice?
Great.
Chris, it's really good.
His other films were Last Days in Vietnam, mm-hmm. Pandora's Promise, Nick Fury, Gorilla, the Taking of Patty Hearst, Stonewall Uprising. I think you just discovered a new composer.
Yeah, no, he's rising. He's rising. I'm telling you, I was listening to it and I was like, this is really freaking good. Tell me this is, you know, and trust me, it's a great sequence where it's like, you know, by at this point, you're caught up in O.J. You've watched him from high school, college. You know, I didn't know much about O.J. other than, you know, he made some movies and he was a football star. And I don't follow football. I don't care. You know, I found out his whole life and who he was. And it's absolutely fascinating. It's riveting. That's all I got to say. Out of sequence, like Brian said, he saw a few sequences. Maybe it just seems like, you know, stuff you've seen before. But when you see it as a whole, and you watch the scope of what he did, what he represented at different points, you know, what he realized, what he didn't realize, it's just fascinating. And this sequence is where it's like, We've established he's a celebrity. He gets treated differently. He's not. He doesn't consider himself black. He does not consider. He says himself OJ. They get tons of interviews and he's like, I'm not black. I'm OJ. And at this point, you know, there's no other person on the planet, no other black man on the planet who, like, the police are gonna. At this point, I didn't remember all the details, but when you watch the documentary, you remember what was going on. He was supposed to show up in court, and he was on the lam, and nobody knew where he was, and, like, he's got a gun to his head, and he's in his white Bronco, and they're talking to him, and it's all the news networks. This is CNN, and all the news networks are going to OJ, and so then they go to that music, and it's just.
I remember it's watching it live,
dude. It's all I gotta say.
It was during the Knicks. It was the playoffs.
Yeah. They talk about it. Yes, and it was during the playoffs. We were watching
the playoffs, and all of a sudden they cut to that, and it was like, what the F?
Yes. And again, I didn't. I was still in my not watching TV period, so it was like, yeah, whatever. OJ and the Bronco. I heard about it. I'd pass by some. It was in the any TV that was on in those days.
I remember it very much.
That. Of course, it was an event, and that's the thing. When you realize, looking back, what it was. As an event itself, it's one thing, but in the context of his life and what he represented and what was going on in the country, because it's also a documentary about America. It's not just OJ. It's about America. It's called Made in America for a reason. It's really an interesting historical document, the rise and fall of a person, but also all the things that he was, all the things that he wasn't.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think he did it?
I don't even want to say. I think you should see it.
Excuse me. You can say the conviction has been given to his life. I'm asking you.
Here's what I will say. Here's what I will say.
And he thinks he's gotten away with. Can I say this? I'm asking directly. Do you think he was guilty?
I understand this answer. That's why I say you want to see it. In some ways, it's not really that. That's the least. I wouldn't say the least, but that's only a small.
I'll make it easier.
A part of what this documentary
I'll
is.
Make it easy for you.
I know.
Everybody, when it happened,
was who?
OJ.
You know, going into the whole OJ conspiracy theories and everything is a whole other conversation, Byron. I don't want to go there. Only because you need to see it. You need to see the documentary, or we can't have the same conversation. It's like, I feel that way about 13th. Did you see 13th?
Yeah, in reality is this.
What?
He was acquitted. Because if the gloves don't fit,
yeah, I'd buy it. You need to see the movie. You need to see the movie.
I'm just telling you,
Byron. I understand. You are one of the masses. You just need to see the movie.
Wait a second, Byron. Are you saying that OJ?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Okay.
No.
This music is good.
I didn't say that.
If I turned over, OJ did it. Did he? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Come on, Byron, spit it out. Is OJ innocent?
I don't know. According to the judgment, he was.
Listen. You have to see the documentary. Both of you have this conversation again after you've seen the documentary. You will speak differently.
Somebody asked me, tell me what. All I want to do is with the truth.
I know, Byron. The truth. You need to. You need to watch the documentary before you can start. Talking.
Let me ask you something.
The truth.
First of all, I have a more important question.
My question is very valid. Was he there when it happened?
Who?
OJ.
Was Chris there?
No. OJ, when it happened. Because if he was there, everybody's saying he's guilty. Well, prove to me he was there in conspiracy.
Byron, I will not engage in an OJ guilty or not guilty conversation. I just won't do it. It's very late 20th century, and I also want to say the fact that you're saying this is why you should see the documentary.
Because it's
still that much of a part of the fabric of the consciousness of this country for black and white and how it divided people and how... You know, even at the most liberal of liberal white people had to, you know, they've got what's his name in there? Peter Hyams, who directed in Capricorn 1. He's in there talking about OJ. He's like, yeah, I loved OJ, man. Then I watched it. Oh, shoot, OJ did it, man. It's like, you just got to watch it. It's so, like, wow. They don't pull any punches, Byron. You need to see it.
The strings were nice. The strings were amazing.
Did he get those guys in the hotel room?
That's the tragedy right there.
He's guilty.
That's the tragedy right there. Let me just tell you, they cover all that too.
Order.
He was guilty.
Byron, listen. I'm only was bringing it. There's no more OJ. OJ music is over. We're going to play other things.
Yes.
Okay.
This
is sweeter. This is something called.
This is out of
Final
the,
Judgment.
From the O.J. Simpson.
No.
Somebody killed Nicole. From another Ron Goldman. Somebody killed.
Somebody did. It was a heinous crime. Heinous crime.
But you know something interesting? He's going to be getting out.
I don't know. Is he really getting out? You know?
I heard around October.
Let me just say, OJ, wow. You know, again, I never really cared about OJ, but now he's...
Can I say one thing? I think he's probably suffering from early forms of dementia now at this point, from concussions.
You see, once you've seen the documentary, we'll pick up on all this again. Okay?
I'm going to watch it.
Byron, you watch it.
I'll watch it.
I'll loan you my DVD.
Don't have to. I got Netflix. I'm gonna watch it.
I'm talking to Byron, not you. You're freaking upstate.
Give me this disc. I'll play.
What do you mean I'm in upstate? Leave me alone.
You're upstate. You're like he shows me photos of upstate. It looks like Hoth. What'd you say?
I sent you pictures of the 3 feet of snow I got.
Yeah, 3 feet of snow. Insane. I can't even imagine that over here.
That's what I got. I got 3 feet of snow. It took them a day and a half to dig me out.
Oh man.
Did you hire people to come in, dig you out from the street?
Absolutely, that plows, but at that point, where do you put the snow?
Right, make a mountain.
You could make Devil's Tower. Make a giant toilet. Gigantic, like the size of a house. On your lawn.
And I'm telling you, 3 feet of snow, 35 inches.
That's intense. Babe. I hope you went shopping first.
Oh, you know, it's all good, but it's just the reality, man. It's just it's the reality of life.
How much do you have left? of the 3 feet, how much do you have left?
He makes igloos. He has igloos on his lawn. He makes igloos and then charges rent, like Airbnb.
I'm going to send you a picture right now, Byron.
Send it to Byron. All right, Mystery Guest, you have a story, don't you? This song is about Trump.
I can't believe what I'm seeing.
article is from Sky News, from Sky UK Limited. Hidden killer, salt in food, killing 14,000 people a year. Health experts.
Hidden killer.
Hidden killer. Not mystery killer, hidden. Salt in food killing 14,000 people a year. Health experts say salt levels in foods are a national scandal and call on the government to ensure reduction targets are met. This is from the UK.
A national scandal.
This was posted today, yesterday, Monday, 20 March, 2017.
The salt scandal.
By Ashish Joshi, Sky correspondent. Too much salt in our diets is causing up to 14,000 preventable deaths every year, according to health campaigners. And food producers, they say, are not meeting voluntary reduction targets because it would drive down their profits. It is called a hidden killer, causing strokes, blood pressure, and heart disease. Professor Graham McGregor, chairman of Consensus on Salt and Health, CASH, said the easiest way to make bland, cheap food more palatable is to add salt, and salt is practically free. This is a national scandal. The UK was leading the world in salt reduction, but the government is doing nothing to ensure that the 2017 salt targets are met. Professor McGregor is urging the government to impose strict limits on the amount of salt used in processed foods. So far, only one out of 28 food categories is on track to meet 2017 salt reduction targets, that is bread rolls. This product survey, which was conducted using the updated Food Switch UK app and its salt switch filter, compared two shopping baskets, each containing similar items, but with different amounts of salt. The difference in salt content between the unhealthy and healthy baskets of products was 57 grams of salt. Findings revealed many products exceed the maximum salt reduction targets. Galaxy Unlimited Marshmallows Hot Chocolate is saltier than seawater and has 16 times more salt per 100 grams than the maximum target. One serving is saltier than a bag of crisps, the study found.
Crisps equals potato chips.
Katherine Jenner, registered nutritionist and campaign director for CASH, said salt is the forgotten killer. The findings from our Food Switch shopping basket survey are alarming, and we are shocked to see that many food manufacturers and retailers are still failing to meet these salt reduction targets, despite having had years to work towards them. We congratulate the other, more responsible manufacturers that have successfully achieved them on their tracks to meet them by the end of the year, which shows it is possible. With only 9 months to go, action must be taken now. The app was able to demonstrate in all 28 categories that there were food products with at least 30% less salt, which would meet maximum salt reduction target. CASH said this shopping basket analysis reaffirms the public health goal of consuming no more than 6 grams of salt per person per day is achievable, but said manufacturers are dragging their heels. I think in the US we count them as milligrams of sodium. Dr. Alison Tedstone, the chief nutritionist at Public Health England, said the food industry has reduced the amount of salt found in our bodies, in our foods, by 11% in recent years, which is encouraging progress. We know there's more to do. This is why we're talking to retailers, manufacturers, and the eating out of home sector on how they further go faster to reaching the 2017 salt reduction targets. Salt's everywhere. If you put it in fattening food,
it's killing you.
You know, that's the end of the day.
Bland food. The interesting part there is that bland food can be made tasty with a little bit of salt.
I love it.
You love salt, Byron.
I think salt's good.
You love sugar.
I love sugar.
You think
too.
Salt's good for you.
Yes.
But, you know, they used to say that doctors recommend cigarettes. Do you remember those ads, Byron? Because that's
ads.
Before my time. But I know they have. I've seen it.
I do remember those times.
They might be recommending them in Colorado.
All right. Really?
Right.
This is for you, Byron.
Thank you, Chris. For that wonderful.
Yeah, I saw Chris's frozen tundra pics.
Yeah, you can't really tell how high it is, but it's really high, dude. It's 3 feet.
Listen, I see you. You, this is where you choose to live out your existence. That's insane. You're out of your mind. Why don't you just go to Moscow? All right, go ahead.
Well,
you go to Russia.
I don't know.
I've been to Russia.
I don't know.
I'm on the good
down
list.
In Australia because an Aussie teen mauled by crocodile.
Aussie teen mauled?
Mauled by
Aussie teen
crocodile.
Mauled.
Trying to impress British backpacker. He was a show on. He admits it was stupid. No kidding. Excuse me. Hello. It was stupid to leap into a crocodile-infested river to impress a British backpacker.
Leap into the crocodile-infested...
Oh, he did it for Sophie. She just twisted his heart all upside down. My goodness.
Stay with this, Byron. I want to know what love. You're all about love, Byron. So read this to me with passion.
All right. A teenager was attacked by a crocodile.
A teenager was attacked.
After jumping into a river for a dare, has admitted he did it to impress a British backpacker. Now, the Australian Lee D. Powell, that's Lee DePowell.
Lee DePowell.
Suffered extensive injuries to his left arm and confessed he was lucky to get out of the saltwater crocodile-infested Johnstown River alive. Anyway, the 18-year-old was at a hostel. He was at a hostel now in the northern Queensland town of Innisfail with friends when he started bragging to the group that he could swim in the river. In the early hours of Sunday morning, what was he drinking? Mike.
I out swim crocs.
Mike. Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. It all happened very fast.
Every damn day.
And this is the next thing that gets me. It all happened very fast.
You think?
Pretty much as soon as he jumped in, there was splashing and screaming. Sophie Patterson, who is the teenager was trying to impress, told Queensland, the Courier Mail newspaper. Now, he's given the story. He says, there was blood everywhere, and he just wouldn't stop screaming. Said the 24-year-old from Ye Oville in Somerset. Anyway, she and others had dared him to jump in, but he did not think he would actually follow through on his boast. Stupid is and stupid will be. Anyway, he was walking about the local creek saying, I can swim out. And so we said, go on then. But he didn't think he would do it, she said. So the teenager managed to punch the reptile in the head twice to free himself of a grip before he was helped out of the water. He is now recovering from the serious wounds to his arm. He says, I just wanted to show the backpacker I got her number. He told FM's Fritzy and Whipper on Monday.
What animal makes that sound?
She twisted this guy's heart off. What did she do to him?
She was wearing a top like the mystery guest has on.
Oh, my goodness. He went out there and went swimming with crocodiles. Did he lose his mind?
What you call a goddamn fool?
My goodness.
Any thoughts there, Chris?
Oh, it's crazy. But see, everybody chooses to do what they want to do.
Well, there it is, Byron. I hope she gave him, her number.
A number or something.
Maybe she'll take pity on him. Is he a quadrupedic now, or what did they say happened?
Well, he vanished.
Of course he did.
He vanished on Sunday while spearfishing alone in waters just north of
his... He was consumed by delusion.
So, there's a mystery on their hands. Thank you. Okay, the tagline on all of this is the best part. At the end it says, but reacting to the attack on Mr. DePaul, that's the man who was attacked by the crocodiles.
His name is
DePaul?
Mr. DePaul. Oh,
DePaul.
That's like a Paul. Vulcan. That's a Vulcan name.
DePaul. 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 Mr.
DePaul.
Yeah,
it's a Vulcan
Paul.
Name.
Yes, it is. Anyway, liberal, he's part of the liberal.
Say? That's McCavity's name.
Who's McCavity?
Mystery cat.
The mystery cat?
There's
a mystery cat? Wait a minute, I didn't know about a mystery cat.
Never mind.
He's part of the National, Liberal National Party with Sundays. And this is MP Jason Costigan insisted, we can't legislate to protect. And he's got it. Hold on. It's a D with a dot dot heads. And this is a.
We cannot legislate. We'd like
to protect D dot dot heads.
What is D hedge?
Heads. H E A D S. D dot dot heads. That's all I can tell you.
I don't understand.
Well, you just have to figure it out. I can't say this on top radio.
Oh. D-heads.
D-heads.
Oh, D-heads.
D-heads.
D-heads, yes. I understand.
Thank you. That was the comment, though.
D-heads.
They quoted.
Quoted him.
Yes, they quoted.
I like to get quoted as saying D-heads.
And that's the end of the story. So I'm just telling you as it's come to me over the wires.
Are there some words up that we can't say? Is that one of the words we can't say?
I don't know. Can we?
I don't know.
But I'm just reading it as it was at the end of the story.
What would Dick Cheney say?
Dick Cheney would say you can't say his name.
You can't say his name. All
right, so you could say dickhead, yes.
Okay.
Like in that's my line. My favorite line from Lethal Weapon 3. It's Lethal Weapon 2.
Who is it, dickhead now? Who is it, dickhead now?
Be careful.
Martin.
All right, do you remember that movie, Chris?
Which movie?
Lethal Weapon 2.
Of course.
Okay.
I don't remember the line though.
Kurt Jurgens plays the South African. Kurt Jurgens, who also played Stromberg in Spy Who Loved Me, who wanted to cover the world in water, and he was going.
I know that when we went to see Lethal Weapon 3 together, we were so blown away with Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, yeah, he came in 3. Yeah. Lethal Weapon 2 was, you know, he was. They're against the South Africans. What is it, Mr. Guest?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, you were dancing. She was dancing. I thought she was signaling. All right, Byron. So that was your story?
That was my story.
That was your
story. All the way to the end.
All the way to the end.
Yes, it was.
All right. I have a story for the mystery guest. Mr. Guest?
Are you ready for the challenge? I'm ready for the challenge.
And I put this on the Facebook page because it's really, she's going to describe it to you, but it's a visual thing, okay? Because when you see this, like, wow, okay, all right, you know, okay, mm-hmm. You know.
World's biggest chicken is so gigantic, some terrified viewers claim it must be a man in a costume.
There it is, Bard.
Some viewers said... The biggest chicken, the chicken looked more like a fully grown man.
The biggest chicken.
Wearing a fancy dress costume. As one says, that ain't no chicken. That's a goddamn velociraptor. So yes, this is also from the UK, from Mirror. And this was also published yesterday. A clip of the world's biggest chicken has left viewers horrified at its Jurassic proportions. The footage shows a chicken poking its head through a relatively small hole in an elevated hutch. As the clip continues, the chicken begins to step into the yard and reveals its incredible enormity and plumage. The chicken looked relatively average size, leaving a touch. The enormous chicken was compared to Jurassic-like creatures.
The enormity of chicken.
With masses of feathers and standing far taller than most dogs, the bird wanders around the yard of Mark Webster. It is not known where the footage was filmed, but viewers online reacted with shock at the giant feathered giant.
The giant feathered
bird emerged from its perch and wandered through the yard.
It wandered through the yard.
What now? This abomination should not exist.
This abomination
tears are streaming down my
face. Not exist!
Out of fear that I live in the same world as this.
I fear!
Another
I
added
the same world as this abomination!
One even thought the bird was actually a human wearing a fancy, fancy dress costume. The Brahms breed is thought to be the largest in the chicken family. They said I could have sworn, as it was first stepping out, that it was a man in a chicken costume. The breed is thought to be a Brahms, the largest in the chicken family. The Brahms chicken. I'll have the Brahms chicken.
The largest in the chicken family.
I'm famished.
What is he doing? Mike, what are you doing?
Mike Sargent.
Nice piece, by the way. That's some DGM, isn't it?
Well, actually, I'll admit this to you.
Yes.
That was me. That was me.
Sargent.
Yeah. I snuck a piece in.
Thank you.
For Night Shifters.
Sharing that.
I'll actually share that. Because I snuck stuff in and I don't really say anything.
I know.
So, Chris, did you like it?
It was great.
Even Chris liked it. So let me ask you, Chris, what was the best thing about your birthday and what do birthdays mean to you? Because, you know, for me, birthdays and New Year's is the same thing where it's like you're looking back and, you know, where you've been and you're thinking, or for me anyway, I think about where
the,
oh, stop. Are you flushing the toilet while you're on the show? Look into that. I hope Danny's listening. That is classic Chris Taylor. There it is. Yes, and let me...
sound is coming in.
In my philosophy. All right, so my question is, what are birthdays for you? Is it, you know, I'm always, it's a looking back, looking forward, taking stock kind of thing for me. How, what are birthdays for you?
Taking stock? I haven't gotten to that point where I'm taking stock, though.
I understand. Well, no, so you just celebrate. Yeah, it's my birthday. Thank you.
No, I guess, you know, just, you know, having a, I don't really look at it as a taking stock. I just want to have a really good time and just enjoy life. I mean, that's pretty much, I guess, the way I look at birthdays.
So you celebrate. You literally say, you know, hey, made it through another year kind of thing.
Not even thinking like that, just really trying to live in the moment. I mean, that's probably my philosophy at this point in life. I don't know. I mean, you definitely will look at life as, or I may look at life as, you know, how much time do we have left? I don't mean to sound morbid, but it's,
I understand. How many more times around the sun?
You know, hopefully, you know, a long time, but the reality of everything with the way the world is and things are, I mean, I don't know. It's a strange time that we're living in, and I just try to enjoy every day and now at this point, just because, I mean, how important is anything other than the people that are in your life and the people you love and the people that you care about? And other than that, is anything really worth it as far as, other than that, you know, like as far as materialistic things? It's, or your, you know, for me, that's just, I just, the longer I'm living, the more I feel that a lot of things aren't as important as they once were in it.
A shift in priorities, or
I just want to enjoy life and you know, feel good every day, try to feel healthy every day, and try to embrace the people that are in my life and make them feel as important as they are. That's fact.
Well, what does that mean for me? What are you gonna do for me now? How are you gonna make me feel important?
Well, they always make you feel important, don't I, every time I talk to you? Did we not just say how great your music sounded?
No, thank you. I'm busting your chops, Chris. But, you know, I agree with everything you're saying, and I understand where you're at, and I am very glad that you are at a place where you can be in the moment and enjoy those moments. Because at the end of the day, that's all you've got.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just reading about Glenn Campbell. You know, he's 80 and he can't play guitar anymore. And,
wow.
And,
disheartening. You know,
what'd you say?
Yeah.
Mystery guest?
It's disheartening.
It's disheartening. Glenn Campbell can't play guitar anymore. How old is he? He's 80, you said?
He's 80, yeah.
Wow, yeah. I was just reading Carl Reiner. You know, it's a bunch of birthdays today, yesterday or today, depending on how you look at it, Monday. Spike Lee and Carl Reiner, he's like 95.
Wow.
95 yesterday. 95s. You know, it's like he'll still show up in a film.
Wow.
Yeah, hello. I'm Carl Reiner. It's so, I love that, you know? So, I'm with you, Chris.
I mean, how do you, what do you view birthdays as? I mean, Byron, how are you going to view your birthday?
That's right. How are you going to view your birthday, Byron?
I'm going to view my birthday as a moment to celebrate another very prosperous year. Mm.
Another trip around, 67 trips around the sun, Byron.
Yes,
that's right.
spiritual year, because it's a lot of positive energy is generating right now. And I want to take advantage of that positive energy and stay in that flow, because I believe...
And continue to look 15 years younger.
Well, I would like to think. Thank you so very, very much.
Yes,
humbled continue. By your assessment.
Continue. Yes.
Anyway.
Drinking the blood of virgins to retain your youth.
May the force be with you all. Seriously. Let's make it a great year. It's already showing signs of encouragement. Keep the positive energy flowing. Stay in the lane of hope.
Stay in the lane. You know, Byron, you know, recently they just discovered a skull, a human skull that was they dated as 400,000 years old.
How old?
In the lane.
400,000 years old.
I read about that. Yes, tell me about it. Tell some more about it.
Byron, well, what's interesting is...
Wait, hold on a second. I wanted them about the staying in the lane of hope.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Well, see... One of the things you have to understand is that if you're going to overcome it all and succeed on the... Evil wants to engage in a chaotic life. Peace wants another form of life.
Okay.
So we have good versus evil here. So, I mean, I could break it down there.
With the lane of hope.
The lane of hope. Well, the hope is that people understand and know what truth is.
Of hope. Okay. Huh? All right, Chris, go back to the skull.
So the skull is 400,000 years old.
Yes.
And
I read this.
They found the reason how they can date it is because I guess the way they found it was with all the rock formations that it was preserved in. They could carbon date that at like 400 to 450,000 years old. So how important are we time wise in relation to that?
It's a human skull.
Human skull. They're not sure if it's a man or a woman, but it's a human skull. It's that time frame. So
we've been walking the earth since 400,000 years. So we've had a good run. Is what you're saying? Is what you're saying?
What I'm saying.
We had a good run. 400,000 years. All right, whatever.
You know,
there are species that have been hunted to extinction. I put on the night shift page the bison.
In relations to 400,
they hunted the bison to extinction.
What's a 3-hour radio show in relations to that or anything? It's just, what was 15 minutes worth?
interesting remix, yes?
Yeah,
you like it, Chris?
Yeah. Weird.
It's weird. It's an interesting remix. Yes. All right, Byron, did you lose the story?
No, I haven't lost the story.
All right, but do you find that interesting?
It's racial profiling.
Well, you see, now, don't interpret yet. Read the story. I knew you knew. Yeah, I picked the story out for you, Byron. It's historical. But think about it. The implications can be thought about. That's the life science fiction part. Just read the facts.
I'm going to only read the headlines. Yes. You'll get the gist of the story. Okay. There are only 4 passport colors in the world, and each one means something different. I'm going to read that again.
Yes, let that linger.
There are only 4 passport colors in the world, and each one means something different. Okay, let's go to the colors and see what we got. All right, red. All right. As any Brit knows, when it comes to UK, United Kingdom passports, deep red is the color of choice. It also happens to be the most common passport color with all members of the European Union, apart from Croatia, sporting a burgundy hue. Okay.
What color is
Croatia? Well, see, let's go deeper.
Talk to me. Just read the whole story. Don't skim. Don't skim. Give us all the details. It's not that long a story. I want to hear it all.
I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Totally. Blue. In second place.
Wait, no. Go to the first one. I want to hear the first one. What that's all about. I need to hear all 4 categories, Byron. Start with me.
Okay.
Number one.
The Economist called this a branding exercise.
Oh, yes.
Though there's
a branding exercise.
Word.
A branding.
On whether we'll stay a nice shade of EU red once we've left it.
Now, keep in mind, this is written from the British standpoint.
Yes, this is about after Brexit.
Which is interesting. This is after Brexit. Yeah. Go ahead. Talk to me.
It's not just EU states either. You see, the Andean community, also known for past EU ambitions of Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru, also has burgundy passports.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, check this out.
That's the first. That's number one. Yes. Burgundy.
Switzerland matches its passport color to its bright red flag, as in the Red Cross. So you have from Burgundy.
Don't skip over anything. I want the entire context here, Byron. Come on now.
Blue. Yes.
That's number two?
Yes.
Okay, talk to me.
In second place is the color blue. Blue reportedly symbolizes the New World, with 15 of the Caribbean countries opting for it. Further south down the South American continent, Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay also use a blue passport. The cover symbolizing the connection with the Mercosur Trade Union. So their color is bonded by the color of the trade union itself.
It's a deep
blue passport.
Interesting. Okay.
The United States are said to be changing their passport color again in the near future. Now, check this out. Venezuela, on the other hand, still uses a red passport, a throwback from its time in the Andean community. So Venezuela is still holding on to some past traditions.
Interesting.
The most famous blue passport in the world, though, has to be the issue to United States citizens. But this was changed to blue as recently as 1976. Now, green.
76.
Check this out.
Did you have a passport before that? Was it a different color, Brian?
I had one in 69.
And what color was it?
Deep blue.
Oh, okay, it was blue. Or it's always blue. Okay, go ahead.
Green, the color for green. Check this out.
I'm listening.
Owing to the importance of the color green in Islam, Most Islamic states reflect this in the color of their passport.
So you can be identified from your passport.
Yes.
Did you hear about the African summit with no Africans?
Examples are Morocco, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan. Variations of green are also used by members of the economic community of West African states, including Niger and Senegal.
Interesting.
Now, black.
Who were all denied. The delegate, you know about this thing. Yes, I put it on the Facebook page.
So black represents the reason for the least common passport color.
Black is the least common passport color?
May be rooted in practicality, as may all of them, in fact. So,
okay.
Let's see what that, what does that really
mean?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
All right, here we go.
Interesting.
Okay, the dark colors chosen obviously don't show up dirt as much.
All right.
And they look okay. Nicely official.
I like a black passport. I want a black
Republic
passport.
Republic of Botswana.
I want a black passport.
And Zambia.
Where's my black passport?
And New Zealand issue brand passports. Though it should be noted, black is New Zealand's national color.
Yeah, New Zealand.
And there's your story.
Interesting, Martin. Fascinating.
So fascinating.
Fascinating.
Indeed.
Where did they all have them printed?
You know, that's a good question, because I only printed one passport in my life.
What color is America?
Blue. What do you mean, what color is America? Don't you have a passport?
Nope.
Dude, you don't have a passport. You should get one now, because it's going to be, you know, don't you have something else in you? What's your heritage, Chris?
Laris, what color is your passport? Mine's pink.
Pink passport.
Blue, my friend.
That's a good name for a band right there. Pink passport. I like that. Pink passport. Live.
You have a pink passport, Mike?
Pink passport.
Yours is blue?
The special kitties open for the pink passports.
Listen, you listen. Are,
what?
Michael what? Jackson was phenomenal.
DGM.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Whoa, DGM. Wow, this song is so awesome.
It's all about the remixes, you know. It's all about the remixes.
Chris, wow.
Mystery guest, you have a story.
I have a great brand name. Artificial intelligence sex robot. Samantha.
No, you. Now, first of all, you got to take your time with this story, and you need to talk right on mic. Pull that mic in front of you. There you go. There you go. Exactly. You can hold it. Yeah. You'd like you'd be like you're the, you know, like the lounge host. You can pull it off the thing and hold it and be like, I'll be here all week.
Maybe try that.
You could. You do it. Go
midway
ahead.
Through reading.
All right. I'm ready.
From the Mirror in the UK. Artificial intelligence sex robot Samantha has working G-spot and can switch from family to sexy mode.
Working G-spot.
One of its creators explained the interactive nature of Samantha. Basically, she likes to be touched.
Slow it down, slow it down.
Basically, she likes to be touched. An artificial intelligence sex doll with the ability to create emotional closeness and progress.
through different modes, from romantic to sexy, has been unveiled. The doll, dubbed Samantha, was presented on camera in Barcelona on Thursday and is said to respond to being touched in different areas of her body. One of the doll's creators, Sergei Santos, explained her functions, saying she was designed to be interactive. Basically, she likes to be touched, he said. Samantha likes to be touched. Samantha has piercing green eyes and is said to provide emotional pulses. She has different modes of interaction. She has romantic, she has family, and she has sexy modes. She can touch her hips and her arms. She likes to be kissed. She also responds to the G-spot and the
G-spot.
She can also respond to the hands. The hands are Sergei Santos demonstrates the doll. Sergei says the doll has different modes. The spots she feels sexy
different
are the mouth
modes.
And the G-spot. She said, he said, he said, she said, he said she interacted in a progressive form.
Interacted in a progressive
romantic
form.
Romantic.
I like women who interact in a progressive form myself.
He said she interacted
even
in
if they're robots.
Progressive from romantic right through to sexual. Progression, I think, is the type of. He said she interacted in a progression from romantic right through to sexual.
Mm.
The final objective of the sexual mode is to get her to get
the
orgasm,
final objective of the sexual mode.
One viewer of the demonstration video pondered, I wonder what the family mode is for. LOL. Like, does she sit at the kitty table or the grown-up table? Question mark. End quote.
Mike Sargent.
Yes.
My goodness, what a great mix that is.
DGM.
DGM, my friend. Wow, amazing, amazing, amazing. That the pureness of that music. Wow.
Check this out. Check this out.
Michael Jackson.
Let's see what you think of this. I'm going to give you a new story.
Yeah.
mind because you don't even know what it is.
You're right. But I like it.
Byron's face as he's reading this story.
Just promise me whatever we say, whatever we do to each other. For now, we'll make a vow to just keep it positive.
But you're shocked by this story. I see Byron is shocked by the, but Chris, I have to tell you, the whole time, like, this Jackson, Michael Jackson track is playing, Byron is sitting here slack-jawed reading this story. Yes,
what,
Byron.
What's the book?
He's slack-jawed. He just keeps scrolling, and he's holding his hand to his mouth. It's pretty wild.
All true.
Okay. All right. So, Chris, yes. Just read the headline first, and okay. That's Pounds. You can read all that right. In Pounds, because it's another God. UK story.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right, here we go, guys. Sex dolls could be given personalities for £16. The British pound for £16.
That's about $20.
A month with new artificial intelligence app.
Ooh. All right, keep going.
You have to kind of like picture
keep going,
this.
Please. I'm just, okay.
Okay.
They interview all the leaders in the industry.
And this industry is called Night Tour Around Real Doll. D-O-L-L, all one word. Real Doll. Mm-hmm. Night Tour Around Real Doll. After Hours Tour Around Sex Doll Shop. Okay. How about a bit of amorous banter with a fully formed sex robot? It could be possible within the next 12 months. Oh, shoot, that's close. California-based Real Doll, one of the world's most successful manufacturers of love dolls. They're manufacturing love dolls. Has revealed plans to give its products a personality. Anyway, the company is currently building an artificial intelligence system called Harmony. Harmony. That could launch in 2017 in the form of a smartphone app. See, the Real Doll proposes...
A smartphone app for your sex doll.
That's right. Real Doll proposes that it will learn from the customer and adapt the sex doll's personality accordingly. The kicker...
Wow.
It'll be a subscription-based model. Hold on.
Exactly. You lose your job, you lose your girl.
Where'd it go? Please take me back. I don't want to see that next story. I touched the wrong button. Oh, no.
Just click your heels together.
Three times, please. Click your heels and say there's no place like home. Please go home. Run home.
Here you go. Right, here we go. And there's a good photo of the psycho who created this.
Oh, he's out there.
Look at his face. Like, look at show it to the mystery guest. Tell me if this guy looks like,
doesn't look like
a sexual predator.
Does he look a little like Freddy Krueger?
Not to judge a man by his appearances.
Please. Come on. All right, go ahead, Mark.
All right. Anyway.
What has he made for the world? What has he done?
I don't know. Anyway.
What has he brought us?
Sex dolls, personalities. Sex dolls. Go ahead, Brian. Did you lose a page again?
No. With the Harmony Owl, they will be able to actually create these personalities instead of having to imagine them. They will be able to talk to their dolls.
I like my sex robots to have personality.
And the owl will learn about them over time through these interactions, thus creating an alternative form of relationship.
I love it! An alternative form of relationship, Byron. There it is.
Bizarre.
There. Now stop. Right there. Just pause.
Yes.
An alternative form of relationship.
Ouch.
I am in an alternative form of relationship. My sex robot and I have an understanding.
Alternative form of a relationship, March.
It's an alternative form. I understand you may have your prejudices. Go ahead, Byron, please.
Yes, thank you for that.
I'm sorry. That was a brief pause into the commercial break there.
The scope of conversations possible with the owl. Note that the program itself is called The Owl, A-L, like it is a male name.
That's not A-L, the AI, they're saying the AI. That's
artificial intelligence?
That's the acronym today for AI.
Oh, well, okay.
So, you know, when you see articles,
capital I
say okay. AI, it's AI.
It's quite diverse. They're saying that the conversations possible with the artificial intelligence is quite diverse. And not limited to sexual subject matter.
That's right.
So it's like you come home and say, how are you this evening?
My brother's coming over.
How was your day at the office?
Entertain him.
Initially, these all-infused creations will take the form of heads.
Yeah, people, and your family will accept, right?
That can be
your
attached.
Your family will accept your alternative form.
These are heads that can be attached to an existing real doll body. So you can actually take your personal...
Get a new head.
You can take your personal head with you.
I like that. It's like, you know what? Put the pouty head on.
It's just a little bit extra.
All right, now band distributing sex robots in Britain. Sex tech trend could make human relationships seem primitive, warns expert.
That's right. Standard relationships are primitive. Yes. These are alternative
forms of relationships.
If you continue this down this path,
keep going, Byron. Please.
Mm-hmm. There's so much statistics written on this, Byron. I got to tell you, they believe by 2050 there'll be more men in relationships with sex robots than there will be men in relationships with real women.
This is
the prediction.
The heads alone are expected to cost $10,000 or 6,500 pounds.
For a primo head.
Yes.
You get them cheap.
And when the... When the full sex doll robot is completed, it would cost anywhere between 30,000 or 19,000 pounds
until they take off.
$60,000, 39 pounds.
When there are plenty of people, listen to me. I was at the Whitby Hotel. That's where the junket for the movie with Dan Klaus was. It's new. It just opened up in March. It's brand new. Everything's new. Everything's custom. It's new. And I was curious, like, how much are the rooms? You know, like a one bedroom, okay? Or you know, the ones where you have like a little area. There's a bedroom and a little area that kind of like to rent. Yeah. You want to know how much it is a day, a night? $4,000 a night.
Stop.
Okay, it opened up in March. The hotel is full.
Oh my
it
goodness.
Was full.
Wow.
They had rented out some junket suites. Listen to me. No. What I'm saying is, if you can spend $4,000 a night in a hotel, okay, buying a $30,000 doll is nothing.
Well, what's the That's interest rate on a sex doll loan?
Well, I don't think I don't think sex doll loans, which again, that's really smart and American of you, okay. But I don't think sex doll loans right now exist. But you know what? There will be, and I like the life is like science fiction, that there will be people who will help you finance your sex doll while
they're
they're expensive. There will be people that who come up. Listen, there are people who will run your Airbnb for you.
Yes.
You know, this is America. If there's a way to make a dollar, somebody will.
Low interest loan for my sex doll.
Exactly. Low interest. You can have a clever tagline in there, Mr. Guest.
Probably.
What did you say, Mike? This is America.
This is America. This is America.
There's a way to make a dollar.
If there's a way to make a dollar or a way to make a dime, somebody will have thought of it and started a .com. Okay? I'm telling you. That's right. Listen to me. If Byron started infiltrating Republicans, you know, meetings and stuff, and then he did the undercover Republican, he could totally listen to me. He just, his profile pic would be him with a bag over his head, you know, and he'd be the undercover Republican. Nobody know who he was, and he'd be out there doing it. I'm telling you.
Oh my God.
He'd have his own show.
On YouTube.
That's right.
The undercover
Republican.
Wow.
And what he does, he takes the microphone, right, and he puts it under the bag.
Listen, he's wearing latest spy gear. He infiltrates. Sure. You never see him because you don't know what he looks like, because then that would give away his cover. So he just goes in. He's at everything. He's at every rally. He gets in. You know, he's hooked up. He's totally wired. Nobody knows who he is.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the undercover Republican. The undercover Republican. So, Byron, did I just blow your cover by like announcing it?
It's okay.
What's really ironic about it, Mike?
What?
Is most of the Republicans are undercover now.
Well, they're only undercover when they're surrounded by Democrats. They're like, okay, I can't say anything because these Dems fighting words today.
Get what they deserve.
But you want to
listen to you. Listen to you. They get what they deserve. Byron, you've bought into everything.
Everybody's going to have accessibility to health care. That's the.
You think so?
That's the line. That's the word. Accessibility. Nothing to do with whether you're going to get it. You're just going to have accessibility.
It's all about the money.
That's the spin. That's the Republican spin on the new
healthcare.
It's about the two Americas, and we all know it.
Which two Americas?
The rich and poor. Rich and everybody else. Listen, that's
which one poor. Do you want to live in?
Listen, I'm clearly, you know, as soon as I make my first million, I'm going to become a Republican.
Why would you do that?
Just to be with my people.
Byron, which part do you want to live in?
I want to live in the place where I don't have to worry about money. Where I can.
You want to live in a place where you don't have to worry about money? Can I get a ticket there too, Byron?
You certainly
can. I get a ticket.
It's not restricted to just.
Byron's like the new Dylan. I want to live in a place where. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So it is there for you to enjoy. Now, it comes with some risks, but you're certainly welcome, and you can. It's still yours to enjoy.
What the planet, the city, the world? What
peace?
Oh, peace is there to enjoy. But where's peace, Byron? If you're going to get a ticket, where would you go to this peace? What is a peaceful country?
In your estimation, the country of peace.
Where is that?
Well, first and foremost.
Oh, Byron, don't go pontificate.
First and foremost, fourscore.
That's it. First and foremost.
First and foremost.
Oh, right.
That's called a Byron prelude.
Thank you, Byron prelude. Because I don't want. Yes. Anyway, you really
want to
know?
You want to know where it is?
Yes.
It's that Marlon Brando Island in Tahiti. Plus 3,000 a
day.
Let's
time delay. Marlon Brando Island
in the Tahiti. Yes.
What about the one that Johnny Depp's island? He's got
that. That was beautiful.
Let's go to Johnny Depp's island.
That's pretty bizarre.
He bought that, and the people are like, well, why are you buying us? He's like, no, I'm buying you to preserve you. Mr. Guest.
Oh, hi. I have an article, also from the Mirror.
Love this press, by the way.
It's fantastic.
This is from last week, the 16th. March 2017, Moscow Zoo sues ad company after rented raccoon appears in nude video, saying it's
rented raccoon appears in nude video.
First two words, Moscow Zoo.
Moscow Zoo.
Zoo. Ooh. Sues ad company after rented raccoon appears in nude video, saying it's just rented like bestiality. So the zoo, who rented their raccoon.
The zoo
an ad company.
Who rented their raccoon?
Rented their raccoon. How could they rent their raccoon?
Why? We'll rent you our raccoon.
Tell me.
You haven't heard the best part of the story yet, Byron. You haven't heard the best part of the story. Keep going.
Okay. The animal was seen in online pictures and videos appearing with a naked model in promotional material
raccoon
guide.
Got game.
Oh, in promotional material for Guide Moscow. Petting zoo.
And the final, just by the way, the final sentence of this article is the best sentence of the entire night. Go ahead.
In Moscow is suing an advertising company after one of their rented raccoons, appeared in a nude video.
I didn't know there was a raccoon rental industry, but of course there is.
All of their animals. Like
you got a movie? You
is that
rent
a
some
zoo
from
or
the
a
zoo.
Brothel?
Byron, hold your questions till the end.
Guy Moscow Petting Zoo.
Oh my God.
Has
go ahead. Don't lose focus.
The using the animal in this way is just like bestiality. Ugh.
Using the animal in this way to having it in a naked bed with a woman.
A lawsuit against Art-MSK, Art Musk. The raccoon was rented to the company in August 2016 to be used in their commercials. According to Art Musk, the raccoon would only be required to play in a pile of blankets and towels during the
play in a pile of blankets.
But after the commercial was published online, staff at the zoo realized that the animal had actually been used in a video with a naked woman. The zoo required the ad company to remove the photos, but allegedly received no response from the advertising company.
the pillows only get turned on when they have a naked fluffer.
Well, you know, this is what the suit.
That's
this
what
is the
raccoon
basis.
Is playing in.
This is the basis of
a
the suit
of
here.
A pile of pillows and blankets.
There, but with a naked girl
with a
underneath.
Naked woman.
There's a naked girl. Keep going.
Well,
keep going.
Yeah.
This gets good.
Rented raccoons. Ugh. The zoo required the ad company to remove the photos. And
we'll take our raccoon out
allegedly
of
received no
video.
Response from the advertising company. In addition to the removal of the offensive material, the zoo would also like the company to compensate the moral damage.
Give us more money.
Caused to the
you
raccoon and admit that shooting animals and advertising containing erotic scenes is a violation of animal rights.
Mm, you violated his rights. You
it's
put him
true.
In bed with that woman.
A statement from lawyers acting on behalf of the zoo read, the plaintiff considers the use of the raccoon unacceptable in the video and the photos of the near-naked woman, as this has a negative impact on people's perceptions of this species of animal. By using the raccoon in the near with the near-naked woman, the defendant inflicted harm on the raccoon population. Now, everyone who watched this video or saw this photo will associate raccoons with eroticism.
No!
Every last one of them. From now on. From this day forth. Everyone who has seen this photo. Or watched this video. Or heard this broadcast. Will associate raccoons with eroticism.
Eroticism. It is
a zoo
outrage.
Spokesman. It's called Channel 5
we
Russia.
Must be compensated.
That after shooting the video, the raccoon named Thomas. Thank you. Thomas
is the horribly scarred.
Thomas was in a state of shock and fearful of camcorders.
What happened to me?
Fearful of camcorders.
Is there a naked woman?
He said, camcorders, where are your cell phones, people? I'm shocked. And I've been held here.
Byron?
Without my consent.
Okay,
I did not give
very
my
good.
Approval in this matter.
What else can you say?
What is that?
What'd
you say?
A grand mixture.
You feel the raccoon is been violated?
Yeah,
I feel
but see, the thing about the raccoon thing is I'm still can't get it out of my head. It's just like more like a muffler. So the dude is
how is a raccoon like a muffler?
Well, because it's only so
that
big.
Sounds very.
I mean, how? What else can
species,
you?
What do they call it when you're a species?
If you take a raccoon
when you're prejudiced against
you
other species.
It, now listen, hold on.
Species.
Yes, it is.
You're a species.
But you can take a raccoon and you can make gloves and mufflers out of them. But raccoons.
Wait
are
a minute. We can
big.
Take a raccoon and make gloves and mufflers. What? Gloves and mufflers. Like they go together. What is it? What do you? Mystery guest. What the hell is he talking about?
I didn't pick the. I didn't put the raccoons.
Chris, he keeps reaching out to you, so help us.
Reaching out to me?
He does. He identifies with you. He's always, Chris, are you with me, Chris?
I think it's taking advantage.
Chris, are you with me?
I think
me?
It's taking advantage of raccoons.
Chris, are you with me?
Personally, I think it's taking
Chris,
advantage of all raccoons.
Are you with me?
Well,
I just like the idea
them.
Of Byron
renting.
Being an undercover Republican. I just like that.
I like that, too. Like that. I like it, too. He's wearing his hat and his bow tie.
M.O., yes.
Don't the animals have lawyers? And where was that?
Obviously not.
Well, why not? Why not? Has no lawyer
know,
stepped
right.
forth to
Come
represent
on.
These animals?
Exactly. Some
in
lawyer
Moscow?
Should step forth to represent the...
In Moscow.
The
yes.
raccoon question. Whose
no,
life, whose life may be scarred
raccoons.
Now?
Let's resolve.
He's
it.
Got
and
a fear of camcorders.
Animals.
There was a naked woman involved.
Holding out.
Bestiality.
They're being rented.
The raccoon is naked, clearly. By the raccoon's not with clothes. Account. The woman's naked. It's a species, the nakedness and the raccoon.
No
it is outrageous.
How can you sell that B-roll?
You know, I bet you they could sell the B-roll of, like, you know, raccoon being wrangled.
Is this a B-roll sale?
Raccoon
yes.
wrangled into...
In the Mirror, UK.
Raccoon
are
wrangled into... I don't think they forced the raccoon. First of all, I think that nude model was pretty brave to get in bed with a raccoon. I think we should go bravo to the model, because raccoons have really sharp, long claws.
Ouch.
And teeth. And if, like, this is a wild animal, that you're putting me in a bed with this wild animal, how much did she get paid? That's just my question.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know.
Well,
what?
You how are they treated?
Who?
The zoo.
They're treated. I'll tell you how they're treated. Rented? They're rented out for shoots.
Where's
for
the lawyer?
There's no lawyer representing the animal in question.
You know, it's very hard to stop a raccoon.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying
it's very, very hard.
Like, that model was taking her life in her hands. That's all I'm saying.
It was this rabid raccoon that was attacking my friend's dog, and I hit this thing in the head. Must have been 10 times with a shovel.
Oh wow, that's violent.
He's a violent guy.
Rabid too. It was.
You didn't rent him from the zoo to do that.
No, but I'm just saying it's the bit me, gave me rabies. Insane.
That's scary.
And when I was hitting it, it kept going ee ee. And I didn't want to hit it, but what do you do with a rat?
Noises.
Look at Chris's. I can tell you the death cries of a raccoon as I tried to kill it. It was crying out. It made a sound.
No, what do you do? So then the state police showed up and shot it. So I'm still alive.
It's a fun memory.
Just for you. Mike, someday if you ever meet a rabid raccoon, you'll know.
I'll be like, do you know who Chris is? I have nothing to do with it.
No, I'm telling you, it's scary.
What I'm saying. I mean, I agree with you 100% that raccoons, you know, they are animals. You know, they're cute and everything, but, like, they're wild animals.
They are.
You
know,
it's like having a monkey, and all of a sudden it just attacks you.
I think, you know, the monkey could do damage, but, raccoons got them teeth.
No, the monkey
claws.
Tries to bite your face off, then your fingers, and then your genitals.
The monkey tries to bite your face off.
Then your hands, then your genitals.
That's the name of the first album from the Pink Passports.
What's the name of the first album?
Pink Passport. The monkey tries to bite your face off. Big passport. Big passport.
Byron, do you agree with me on this?
I don't know.
Yeah, Byron's like, yeah.
I'm like, okay. As long as we keep moving forward, Chris.
Moving forward.
That's what's important.
Byron's still trying to get out of the, was OJ there or not?
So very far past that. Listen, I went to go see a show since we're closing in on some tight time here. Can I give my review of a show this evening?
Sure.
I saw?
Show or a movie?
A theater performance.
Theater. Good.
I had the pleasure of watching a play, Growing Up Gonzalez, a play by Felix Rojas. And it's a very, very good show, one person show, about this Puerto Rican who grew up in East New York in the Bronx, and it's starring Andre Chulisi Rodriguez. He's very, very good. It's a very good show, one man show.
How long is it running?
It's just opening from now until sometime in April. It's running at the Medicine Show Theater.
Doesn't it say on there?
Yes, hold on.
Is that the playbill?
I'm going to tell you.
Come on. Hurry!
It's at the Medicine Show Theater, which is at 549
Medicine West. Show.
Listen up. The Medicine Show Theater, 549 West 52nd Street, between 10th and 11th Avenue in Manhattan, third floor. You can walk up or you can take the escalator or elevator up. But either way, third floor, because this is a theater with several... I'd say 70, 50, 35-seat theaters. Anyway, this one's on the third floor.
Is there a website on there?
It's a website. Well, you know something? It's not a website.
No website.
I don't see it. Hold on.
I'm not going to give it to me.
No, man. That's not
good. Byron, what's the about?
What's the name? What's the name?
It's called Growing Up Gonzalez. It's right. About a young a Latino who's a New Yorican growing up. He's very right. One-person show, brilliant actor who is directed by... Yes, directed by Felix Rojas and Andres Chulisi Rodriguez. He is the star of the show. He's brilliant. I encourage you to go see his brand now until April, the first weekend in April, at the Medicine Show Theater, 549 West 52nd Street. That's between 10th and 11th Avenue, Growing Up Gonzalez.
Wait, Brian. Byron. Yes. So what was it about? Give me something from the play that you thought was very interesting.
Well, in his coming into manhood, with him and his brother, who were very, very close. And this was a journey with him, telling you the story between he and his brother, when the kind of love that they had for each other as brothers, and that he missed him very much because he died not too in the recent past. And very much recently. And so it's an homage to him and his own life growing up and being Puerto Rican. And it's a very beautiful tale. It's woven very, very well. And the actor who portrays Gonzalez, it's Growing Up Gonzalez, is written and directed by Felix Rojas, Andres Chulisi Rodriguez. He is the star, one-man show. It's also directed by Felix Rojas. It's a very, very good show. I encourage you to go see it now through the first weekend in April.
No.
That's Byron. Right.
Byron.
So.
Speaking of thespians.
Yes.
Excellent. There's a story there.
Oh, yes. It's nice to see a one-man show.
Absolutely.
You know, it was
that's a one-hander. A one-hander.
See, that's what we were talking about, the two-hander. Yes. I was with you.
I know you were.
All right, meet the robo-thespian. Okay, we go from the robo-sex bot to the robo-thespian. The robot playing a leading role alongside a real actors, alongside real actors in British theater. Excuse me?
Robo-thespian. That's right. Does he take direction, Myron?
But will he take direction?
Go ahead, Byron.
How do I get through to this actor here?
Is there an app for this performance? Very good.
Okay. When Judy Norman walks on stage for the play, Spillikin. She performs beside a somewhat different cast member, a humanoid robot. Theaters around the
country.
What's
the play? They should do Rear Window as a play with a robot.
Robot plays a leading role.
The robot is
alongside a real actor.
Jimmy Stewart character. Go ahead.
Okay. Theaters around the country are preparing to welcome a somewhat different cast member to their stages, a humanoid robot. You see, Spillikin features a robo-thespian who talks, displays fine facial expressions, blinks, moves its hands, turns its head, and has even been described as affectionate. That is affectionate. Okay. The play starring Judy Norman. It's a play starring Judy Norman tells a story about a robot.
That's a good name for a band.
Mm-hmm. About a robot maker who builds a robot to keep his wife company after he dies. Wow. Cornwall based Pipeline Theater, which has worked with Robotics England Engineered Arts for the project, is touring across England. They're going to tour this show across England. Wow.
That's right. They're touring with the robot thespian.
The idea for the play came from the robot maker.
Now think about that. What if they have like an all robot cast? No actors have to get paid. Just need like one IT guy.
Okay. The idea for the play came from the robot maker, who has been making robots for 10 years.
That's how you direct him, though, through the IT guy.
Approached the local theater company and offered them the chance to use one of his incredible creations. Whoa!
Byron, life is like science fiction.
Now, are they rentable?
You want a robot thespian? You want to rent a robot thespian?
Rent a robot thespian.
Rent a robo thespian.
A room full of them.
Rent.
All stage full.
We have pre-programmed every single thing the robot says and every single thing
we have pre-programmed.
The robot does, all the moves. Writer and director Jan Welch said. Excuse me. So, the robot will always say the same thing and move in the same way, depending on what cue is being triggered at what particular time. So it does respond back to you, but it's like, I don't know about this one. It's not mobile. The robot is connected to the theater's control room, where a laptop transmits.
Exactly,
cues.
The IT guy.
Welcome to our theater.
He takes
He's a real performer.
I push it here.
Yes.
The director is directing him.
For its performers. And so
there. Well, he's a performer too, of
yeah,
course.
He's a performer too.
Of course.
That pretty much sums it up.
There it is. You could do like your own one-person show. Like you could just put some robots up there, and you're a good programmer. You write it, you direct it, and you just put the robots up there, and they go through. You don't need actors. There it is. Byron, I'm with that.
What do you think, Byron?
Well,
that was the kind of world we'd made.
Where are my people? I saw something. They saw something. That's interesting.
Chris.
Yes.
Any Night. Thoughts?
You know, the more I read, the more I realize you can do whatever you want.
Yes. I think Trump is the ultimate.
You think so?
Well, he's the ultimate explanation, the ultimate manifestation of that statement.
Okay.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's his daughter just got complete access. She's got her own office in the West Wing and complete access to, it says here, government issue communication devices, security clearance. And she has absolutely no title or for the government.
Yeah, she's the president's daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
You want access to Mr. Guest?
I'd like them to tighten the camera in a close up. Tell him to loosen.
Byron, you need to get in there. The undercover Republican, you need to get in there now.
Get in there
loosen.
Now,
can I see all this right. Man on Quaaludes, please? Valium? Can we have a break from this nonsense?
There is a plan and options. There are three options on the table that we could probably discuss. But I'll tell you that there are three options that are available to the procedures that are going on currently.
That was the kind of world we'd made.
And that's exactly correct.
It could be.
That was the kind of world we'd made. World we'd made. World we'd made. World we'd made. World we'd made.
And I stand by world those comments.
Made. World we'd 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 made.
That's it.
Look at that.
I taught you to smile.
Chris does the dialogue. He, you know, he texts me periodically throughout the week.
Yes. I love it. Dialogue. Chris. How are you,
yes.
Sir? How are you, sir?
I'm good, Byron. How are you?
Takes me playing the Apes dialogue on, Bobby, because he's a freak.
I am holding on. But I enjoy holding on.
You're well. Holding on, but you're enjoying holding on?
Yes, I am.
I like that, Byron.
I like truly that. Am.
You know, I've been enjoying it.
You know, the interesting thing, all the main question is, what's the world going to be like 20 years from now? That's the real
question. Yeah, you know, after a while you realize it's going to be like it is now, because 20 years ago you thought there were, it's just like styles will be different. What people wear life? Different glasses and different clothes and media. The biggest change is media and social media and the proliferation of ways in which we can get our own biased information. Are you with
me? I think it's going to change quite significantly.
I'm with you. I think that's okay. Just going to continue.
All right.
I mean, you know.
It's got to fix itself.
Well, you know, fix itself from what? What was that? Think of a point in history when things were good, when things were just and at peace, and humanity was flourishing.
Byron, there was 18,000 people at that rally 6 hours ahead before Trump arrived just today.
And?
Okay, and that is but they some
had,
scary.
They could have had, yes, it's true, but they could have had more. And so
they could add more, Byron. That's the way to look at it.
Because the report that I saw was that the stadium was not full, and the report that I read says that each and every one of his stops.
You read a report from the left.
Because we know which one is fake. Right, which one is fake news?
There it is. That's
which one
it.
Is fake news?
Reality's been obliterated. You're just on one side of the other.
That's because you continue to allow yourself to be lived in the Matrix.
Listen, I'm not in the Matrix.
You take the red pill or the blue pill. Which pill are you going to take?
I'm just watching y'all.
I'm offering it to you.
I'm just watching y'all.
You know, Byron,
this is the static.
Yeah, Chris.
She's the static.
Stay loose, baby.
I'm trying. I am trying. Anyway.
All right. Well, you've been tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI. The name of the show has been Night Shift.
Night Shift.
I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with Byron Saunders.
Yes. Joy.
Chris Taylor.
It's been wonderful.
The mystery guest.
As always.
You can visit us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. Thank you to who, Byron? Who you think?
I want to give a shout out to my friend.
Your only friend?
Sandy. Thank you for a wonderful
evening. Is she listening?
I hope so.
You think so?
Say it. Sandy, thank you for a wonderful evening.
Send her a link.
Night Shift.
That's right.
Night Shift.
Sandy.
Come to Night Shift. The link is www.
All right, come to Night. It's lifeislikesciencefiction.com.
Thank you. Come on,
and we've got shows going back for over 10 years. You can listen to shows. You can just program. You can download it and fill your iPod. You could have like 10 years of Night Shift and just be listening all night, every day.
Night Shift.
If you wanted to. It's our show. But if you go to Facebook page, go to Facebook, NITESHIFT. And you know what? There is a Facebook page. You can like us. But you'll see some of the stories. The giant chicken. We have the giant chicken. He's right there. Sex doll right there on the Facebook page. You know, there's a lot of stories we don't cover here on the show that are on the Facebook page. So you should like us and get in the feed. Get in it. Because if not, you'd be asleep right now.
To everybody, Gail Sayers passed away today.
Oh, Gail Sayers, stop. Stop. Yeah. Brian's song, Gail Sayers?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man. Brian's song, Gail
Sayers. I saw him play. I went to the University of Kansas. I saw Gail Sayers play. Mm. Gail was brilliant.
Oh, man. It's quite a weekend. Chuck Berry.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody. Much love.
Yeah.
Much love. Mr. Guest, anybody you want to shout out to that you know is not listening?
The mystery cat.
The mystery audience.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
And you can follow us on Twitter, NITESHIFTZ. So it's like Night Shift. At Night Shift.